Hello and welcome to the Journeys Podcast. If you enjoy this podcast, we invite you to check out The Journey live this Sunday at 10:30 a.m. at Boca Raton Community High School. Visit bocajourney.com for service times and directions. Now let's join lead pastor Nelson Searcy as he teaches live at The Journey.
All right, well, welcome once again to The Journey, and Happy New Year one more time. We're in a new series called Step Up, and today we're talking about Step Up for Spiritual Growth. And I want to challenge you a bit today. I want to ask you to make some decisions today regarding your spiritual growth. And here's why. Because God wants you to grow. God wants you to grow spiritually. God wants you to mature. God wants you to grow up and become more and more like His Son, Jesus Christ. In fact, that's our mission here at The Journey. It's to give you the best opportunity to become a fully developing follower of Jesus. And God wants that. In fact, let me prove it to you. Go ahead and look inside your program and find your message notes. And let's go straight to our memory verse, which is 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. Go ahead and find that. And let's begin by reading this out loud together. I'm going to have to ask you to read it with great enthusiasm. Your lack of applause earlier concerns me. Oh yeah, 1,700 cans of food. We do that all the time. So anyway, I'm just giving you a hard time. It's going to be a lot of fun today. So take a deep breath. Let's read this out loud with great enthusiasm, starting with rather. Ready? Go. Rather, you must grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Good job. You redeemed yourself. Go ahead and circle the word grow. God wants you to grow. Now, God wants you to grow. I want you to grow. This church exists to help you to grow, but you have to make a decision to grow. You have to choose to cooperate with God to allow Him to grow you. God won't force you to grow. God won't make you grow, but He will grow you if you cooperate. So I wonder, are you willing to cooperate with God to allow Him to grow you in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ? Or to say it another way, do you want to grow in Christ over the next year? How many of you would just raise your hand and agree, I want to grow in Christ over the next year? Great. Go ahead and hold your hands up. Now look around. Look around the room. We're all making this commitment except for one guy in the back who's not raising his hand. No matter what, I'm just kidding. No, a lot of you made that commitment. Good. You make that commitment. You say, God, grow me. And if we want to grow and God wants us to grow and I want you to grow and this church exists for you to grow and we're all pulling for each other to grow, the question is, how do we grow? And see, the truth is, most of us have never really thought deeply about how we grow. So what I want to share with you and introduce today is a concept of how we grow spiritually, and then we'll come back to it more and more in the coming weeks. And it's laid out in your notes, and it says, God grows me through. Now, when it comes to our spiritual growth, there are three ways that God grows us. And when we cooperate with God in these three ways, He grows us. Now, this is not the what of growth, okay? We'll talk about what to do to grow in a moment. This is the how of growth. And in fact, if you ask most people, they get these two confused. If you ask a Christian, like, how do I grow? They'll tell you the what. Well, just do this. Just read your Bible. Just pray. Just tithe. Just go to church. And hey, those are great whats. In fact, we're going to talk about those in just a few minutes. But that's not the how, because what most people miss is the how behind the what. Same thing with pastors. Unfortunately, a lot of pastors, we don't always talk about the how of growth. We tell you the what. And you know, a lot of my friends that I went to seminary with and went to school with and even in my doctoral program with, they would say things like, you know, just listen to the teaching. Be at the services on Sunday. You know, listen to Christian radio. Watch Christian TV. And they'll tell you the what, but they don't know the how. And you see, a lot of people, they confuse more knowledge with more maturity. And this is a big challenge, especially in a very educated society that we live in. We think if I just know more Greek words or if I just have a greater education, then I'm going to be more mature. Now, maturity can help you, and I'm not against education, but education can help you and knowledge can help you. But knowledge by itself does not bring about maturity. If knowledge was the key to maturity, we should just wrap this up and, you know, all go to seminary or something like that. But knowledge is not what it's about. Instead, it comes down to these three things in your notes. Here's exactly how God grows me. Number one, God grows me through commitments. Now, this is going to be a little heady over the next few moments, so I want you to think with me about this. God grows me through my commitments. This is foundational. All spiritual growth starts with a commitment. Now, it starts with your commitment to follow Christ. That's a one-time commitment you make. You say, I'm giving my life to Christ. I'm following Christ. That's an important commitment. Then from that commitment, you make another commitment. Say the commitment to be baptized. Very important early commitment for Christians. So we make that commitment to follow Christ. We make that commitment to be baptized. We make that one-time commitment to be a part of a church. These are all one-time commitments that are important to your spiritual growth. But then being a Christian is also about your daily commitments. You see, you don't just choose to follow Christ once. You renew that commitment. That's the language we actually use. I'm making a renewal. I'm making a renewed commitment. You renew that commitment every day and every week and every month of your life. And sometimes you make big commitments to make this big commitment for God in your life. At other times, it's just regular, ordinary, day-to-day type commitments. You know, this is why we give you next steps every week. You know, these next steps that are on the back of your connection card. You know, just the next step, like memorize 2 Peter 3:18. That's just a little commitment. And you make that commitment and you make another little commitment next week and another little commitment next week, that's going to accelerate your spiritual growth. You know, being a part of a growth group, we challenge you to be a part of a growth group during these semesters we have. Well, those are commitments that lead to growth. And so spiritual growth starts with one commitment after another commitment after another commitment. Yet, there's a limit to commitments. You see, the commitments that start you and the commitments that grow you and the commitments that mature you are only good if you follow through. So that leads us to the second C of how God grows me, which is consistency. God grows me through my commitments, but then I must be consistent. I mean, you know, you can make a commitment to join a growth group, but if you never follow through and actually show up for the group, that group is of no value to you. And you know, you can make a commitment to take some kind of next step for God, but if you never follow through and you're not consistent in that area, then you're never going to grow. So I have to maintain consistency with my commitments. And many people miss this. And what they miss is not the understanding of it. People get it. But what they fall into is something very dangerous, which is inconsistency. Because that's the opposite of consistent. They fall into inconsistency. And so somebody says, okay, I want to grow, but then they're inconsistent in the very things that lead them to growth. And an inconsistent person, person who's hot today and cold tomorrow, will always struggle with growth. You see, it's inconsistency more than anything that torpedoes our growth. Now, let's think about it this way. Physical growth and spiritual growth are similar in some ways. So how I grow physically is similar to how I grow spiritually. So I saw just this week that the number one resolution that we all made at the beginning of the year is to get in shape physically. And all the gyms have been crowded. My gym's been crowded. Your gym's probably been crowded. They're all going to be crowded to about Tuesday. And then it's going to wind back down and we're going to settle in. Because people are going to make a commitment, but then they're not going to be consistent in that commitment. So commitment is good, but consistency is key. Well, so it is with your spiritual growth. You know, if you come to church once, that's really good. If you bring your kids to Journey Kids once, that's really good. But consistency over the course of the year is where it really counts. So it's commitments plus consistency. Now, the danger with that is even if we commit, and even if we're consistent, we can still get into a spiritual rut. And here's why we need the third C. So jot this down, but don't turn the page yet because I want us to talk about it. The third C shakes up our commitments. It shakes up our consistency, and it's called challenges. Challenges. From time to time, during various seasons of life, we need to be challenged in our spiritual walk. We need to be challenged in our commitments. We need to be challenged in our consistency. We need to, according to the title of this sermon series, step it up. And that's what challenges are all about. If you go back to the physical area, for example, let's say that your resolution at the beginning of the year was that you were going to walk a mile each day. I mean, if you've never done that, that's a considerable amount of distance. So you decide on January 1, you're going to walk a mile each day. Well, the first day, it's horrible. You know, your feet hurt, your legs hurt, your hips hurt. You know, you don't think you're going to be able to make it. But then the second day, if you're consistent, it gets a little bit easier. And over the course of a week, if you do it every day, within 2, 3, or at most 4 weeks, you'll become really good at walking a mile a day. In fact, you'll get so good at walking a mile a day, if you don't challenge yourself, you'll just fall into a rut and your physical growth will stall. Your physical health will stall. So what you have to do after 5 or 6 weeks is you have to challenge yourself. You have to say, okay, now I'm going to walk 2 miles a day. And you challenge yourself in that area. And the first couple of days, it's going to be tough. And the first couple of weeks, it's going to be hard. But eventually, you will adjust to walking 2 miles. Now, how did you go from walking nothing to walking 2 miles by the end of the spring? Through commitment, consistency, challenge. But then after a while, maybe you have to do some sprints. Or maybe you have to add in that dreaded machine at the gym that I hate, the elliptical. You know, you have to add all that stuff in. And you got to keep mixing it up in order to continue to grow. We get this in the physical world, but we miss it. And so we get fat, and we get lazy, and we get into a rut in the spiritual world. You know, if you've been just giving at a very basic level over the course of a year, you give God $5 here, you give God $10 there, you give God $20 here, that's a good place to start. But from time to time, you've got to be challenged to step it up and to say, okay, I want to bring the full tithe. And then if you've been bringing the full tithe, like a lot of us, and you bring the full tithe to God, at least once a year, you need to be challenged to give over and above that for something sacrificial, like these special offerings areas that we're doing with missions and community service and things like that. Because if not, any area where we stay the same in, we stop growing. So this is really important. Commitments, consistency, and challenges. And in fact, if you've been around the journey for a while, you know that we've kind of built our whole strategy as a church on this. We ask you to make commitments every week through next steps. We follow up and come alongside of you and pray for you to be consistent. And then you know I'm not afraid to challenge you from time to time. But I can't do it for you. You have to take responsibility for your growth. You have to choose to cooperate with God in these commitments, consistencies, and challenge. So we'll come back to that. But I want to introduce it today, and maybe it'll help put some pieces together. Now, that's the how. So let's go to the what, okay? What are we supposed to do? What kind of commitments are we supposed to make? What kind of consistency do we need to keep? What areas of our lives do we need to challenge us in? Well, that's on the inside of your notes. And there are some ongoing what's, some ongoing actions that every Christian, no matter if you've been a Christian for a day or if you've been a Christian for 30 years, that we still need to make part of our life. Now, the difference is in how we commit, how we keep, and how we challenge ourselves in these commitments. So let me explain as we get into it. So here's the first of what I'm calling ongoing actions that maintain or step up my spiritual growth. So the first one is a foundational one of daily devotions. Daily devotions. Now, maybe you're new to church, or maybe you're new to Christianity, and this is a new word for you. But for most of us in here, we understand that daily devotions are our daily time with God. It's when we pray and study the Bible on a daily basis. And let me just remind you that Christianity is not a one-time thing. It's not an annual thing. It's not a weekly thing. It's a daily thing. And so we spend time reading God's Word. You know, right now, a lot of us are trying to decide what's going to be our Bible reading plan over the coming year. Maybe you made that decision last week when Pastor Matt challenged you to set some goals. You know, I have at home one of these 365 days through the Bible type Bibles, and it breaks it down into these daily readings. And if you read about 20 minutes a day, you read through the whole Bible in a year. That's a great daily reading plan. And if you've never done that, you might want to make that commitment. Look at what the Bible says about itself. It says, your word, talking about God's word, is a lamp for my feet. In other words, it keeps me from stumbling. And it's a light for my path. It keeps me on your will. It keeps me on the journey, per se. And when you fail to study the Bible and have a daily time with God's word, it slows down your spiritual growth, may cause you to stumble, may cause you to get off of God's path, and it definitely leads to inconsistency. By the way, if you'd like to have a breakdown of some really good Bible reading plans, There's probably about 18 or 20 different ways you can approach the Bible, depending on if you want to read through the entire Bible in the year, read through the New Testament in the year, read through just the words of Jesus, read through it from personalities. That's kind of what we're doing with growth groups this semester. We're kind of looking at the Bible through personalities. So if you'd like to have some of those reading plans, I've put that together. And just on your connection card, maybe on the back somewhere, just write reading plans. And I'll send you a link, and you can look down through there and pick a reading plan that's right for you over the coming year. And you know, the truth is, even if you've been reading through the Bible every year, maybe you've gotten stuck in a rut. I mean, that seems weird to say. I read through the Bible every year, but yet I'm stuck. It happens. You've made a commitment. You've been consistent, but maybe you need to challenge yourselves this year and say, okay, what's going to be my challenge in this area? Now, connected to the Bible, of course, is prayer. The Bible is how God talks to you. Prayer is how you talk to God. And there's this dynamic between prayer and Bible study. It makes up our daily devotions. Philippians 4, 6, and 7 says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Which, by the way, if you prayed more, you'd worry less. But that's another message for another day. So here's what you do in prayer. You tell God what you need, and then you thank him for all he's done. I love that. If you do this, you will experience God's peace, which is far more wonderful than the human mind can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. So prayer and Bible study go hand in hand. So let me ask you, are you being consistent in reading the Bible and talking to God in prayer? Do you see the gauge in your notes? You can sort of measure yourself a bit. 0 to 10. You know, if you're just getting started, you've never done this before, make a commitment. Make a commitment to say, this is going to be the year where I'm going to have a regular daily devotion. I'll send you those Bible reading plans. Or maybe you got off track. I mean, this happens to me sometimes. I start the year really well, but then I get off track. You can renew that commitment. Or how about consistency? Are you being consistent in this area? You know, I hate to confess this, but I'm amazed at how long I can go without talking to God in prayer. I mean, you know, sometimes like not just hours, but like a whole day. I mean, it's like 4 p.m. and I realized, you know, have I even stopped to pray today? And so I have to be consistent in that. One of the ways you can be consistent, by the way, is put it in your calendar. You know, we've all got these little things on our phone that remind us. You know, now this may not work for you, but for some of us, we just need to put it in our phone every single day and say, okay, at this time every day, I'm going to be consistent with this. And it keeps bugging us till we clear it and say, yes, we prayed and we studied the Bible. Or maybe you need to challenge yourselves. You know, if it's been a long time since you read through the Bible, or maybe you need to listen to the Bible this year, or get one of these other reading plans and challenge yourself to keep it fresh, to keep it different. So that's number one, daily devotions. Number two is growth group. Growth group, being a part of a smaller group of people that are on the journey together with you. Now, of course, I'm using our term here at The Journey, but, you know, think of this as a small group or a Bible study group, but it is a growth group. That's what we call it here at our church. And to grow spiritually, you have to have the right people around you. You know, the wrong people around you, allowing the wrong people to have too much influence will pull you down. But if you get around other followers of Jesus who are committed to spiritual growth, who are committed to prayer, who are committed to discipleship, committed to becoming more like Christ, and that's all the people that raised their hands earlier, if you get around a small group of people like that, you interact with God's word, you study through a book together that gives you insight into God's word, and you pray together, that's going to bring about tremendous growth. I want you to be eager to be a part of a group like this. In fact, Romans 1:12 says, I'm eager to encourage you in your faith. It's talking about the desire in a Christian to encourage another Christian. But I also want to be encouraged by yours. In this way, each of us will be a blessing to others. Now, there's a lot of ways we can encourage each other, a lot of ways we can be a blessing to each other. We can do it on volunteer teams. We can do it here on Sunday. But one of the ways the early church set it up is that there's a large group gathering like we're doing here, but then there's also a smaller group gathering. Let's go back to the early church, Acts 2. It says they worship together at the temple. That's the large group, big gathering. Something cool about being in the big gathering. They worship together at the temple each day, met in homes, growth groups, for the Lord's Supper, shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of the people. And each day the Lord added to the group those who were being saved. That's why I'm excited that you can sign up for a growth group today. You know, in order to keep our growth groups fresh here at The Journey, we do them on semester basis. You sign up here today, and you'll stick with your growth group through May. Then we take a little break, and then you can sign up over the summer and grow during the summer. Then we take a little break, and you can sign up in the fall, and you can grow during the fall. Then we take a break around Christmas. And we found that this kind of mix up with these start and stop dates, with these semesters where you can take this group this semester and another group the next semester, that works really well with the spiritual growth process. But you see, you have to commit. By the way, if you commit to be a part of a growth group today by writing the number on the back of your connection card, you can just go ahead and give yourselves a 10. Because I know it says, am I fully participating in my weekly growth group? Well, we're not there yet. They start in a few weeks. But if you make the commitment today to be a part of a group, go ahead and give yourselves a 10. And then maybe you need to be consistent in that. Yeah, you know, I was talking with someone just this past week, and they said, Nelson, I joined a group, and then they went through their calendar, and they blocked out that time every night that their group is going to meet. Sounds simple, but if you don't do that, everything is going to crowd into your schedule, and you're going to find yourself being inconsistent. Or some of you have said, well, I don't know if I can get off work, or I don't know if I can make it happen with babysitting or whatever. Well, you know, if you make the commitment now, and then you've got a few weeks to work it out, you can be consistent. You can keep that commitment. And then I imagine there's a few of you that need to challenge yourselves when it comes to groups. Maybe you've always participated in a group, but you want to step up. Maybe you want to host a group. You know, invite people to come to your house. That's a great gift you can give to the growth group leader. By not having the leader host it at their house, they host it at your house, so you partner together. We'll talk to Pastor Matt about that. Or maybe you want to lead a group. You know, if it's not quite right this time, you can start the process this time and be ready to lead by the summer or by the fall. Or maybe you said no to leading, but, you know, God says, hey, you need to lead. You know, the leader always grows more than the person in the group anyway. Well, talk to Pastor Matt about this. No guarantee that it's going to work out exactly like I'm saying it, but you can talk to him and have that conversation and challenge yourselves. All right, 0 to 10. How are you doing with growth group? Then across the page, number three takes us to generous giving. Generous giving. You know, generous giving is one of the ways that God grows you. And just like your calendar is a gauge of spiritual growth, your debit card, your bank statement, that also is a gauge of your spiritual growth. And when you give, it's drawing you close to God. You know, here's a big thing most people miss about giving. When you give on a regular, consistent basis, that makes you more and more like God. Because God is a generous giver. God gives to us freely his blessing every day. God gives to us his son, Jesus Christ. I mean, God so loved the world that he gave his only son. So when we give, whether it's here on Sunday or online or through some kind of automated process that we have set up in our day, we're becoming more and more like Jesus. Because if we want to be like God, if we want to be like Jesus, we have to realize God is generous. Jesus is generous. Now, the flip side of that is that it's hard to grow if you're stingy. You know, if you're tied to materialism and you want to hold on to everything and you're still living like a 2-year-old who's saying, it's mine, it's mine, it's mine, you're never going to grow. That's why the Bible talks about giving, tithing, sacrificial giving, all that goes into that that we've talked about in other places is so key. Look at Proverbs 3, 9, and 10. Now, this is a 3,000-year-old verse, so we've got to modernize it just a bit. But look at what it says. It says, honor the Lord with your wealth. Okay, we really don't have to modernize that. And with the best part of everything, your salary, your paycheck, your job, your career produces. So we have to modernize that a little bit. Then he will fill your barns, that's your household, with grain, with all that you need, and your vats will overflow with the finest wine. I'm ordained Baptist. I don't know how to deal with the wine thing. But anyway, look. A little denominational humor there for you. Sorry. Okay. But here's what I know it promises. God will give you the good things of life. You will live a blessed life. It's as simple as this. Those who give are blessed. Those who aren't are missing out. Maybe you can be blessed in some ways, but you're not being blessed in all the ways God wants you to give. So think about the question. Am I consistently returning my full tithe to God? There's a lot in that question. Number one, have you made a commitment to give? Maybe that's where you just need to start. Just start by giving something. Just make a commitment. Just start by using an envelope. You know, one of the reasons we ask you to use an envelope is so we can report to you how your investment in our church is being used. You know, we don't talk about the budget of the church. We don't talk about the various things that are inside talk here on Sunday. So we do that through our giving statements. And so everybody who uses an envelope, we can then follow up with you and we can let you know all the good stuff that's going on in our church. You hear some on Sunday, but you hear more when we know that you're supporting our church. Then at the same time, and this is why I think a lot of people don't use an envelope, we can then report to you how much you've given. And it allows you to be consistent. And a lot of people don't want the reports because they like to think, we all like to think that we're better than we are. We like to think that we're more consistent than we are. But you know, when I get those quarterly reports, I can look down through there. By the way, I automate my giving. So, you know, it's automated each week. And then I try to stretch myself from time to time to give even more. But I can see, okay, you know, I'm on track. Or if something got off track or I changed debit cards or whatever, I can get that fixed. So are you committed? Are you consistent? Do you need to challenge yourself in this area? You know, if you've fallen into the rut of giving the same, giving the same, giving the same, why not up it? It doesn't have to be a whole lot, but you up it a little bit, enough to stretch yourself, enough to experience God's blessing in a fresh way. Look at Proverbs 22:9. I almost skipped it. In fact, let's read it out loud together, starting with blessed. Ready? Go. Blessed are those who are generous. I mean, how much more clear can it be? So go ahead and rate yourself on generous giving. And then number four in our study, the fourth ongoing action. These are the what's, not all the what's, but kind of the foundational ones. Number four is sharing my faith. Sharing my faith. This is where I tell other people about my faith in God. It's where I invite people to come to church with me. It's where I tell people about Jesus. It's all that goes into letting people know that you are a follower of Jesus. And this is a really important principle. There's a key principle in spiritual growth that basically says, if you aren't sharing your faith, you aren't growing in your faith. And so it's not just enough to have good stuff come into your life through growth groups and daily devotions and God's blessing. You also have to have outflow in your life, and you have to give that away. And so it's really important that you share. It's kind of like if you just take into your life, it's like pouring a glass of milk and then having it sit there on the counter. And if it just sits there on the counter long enough, it grows stale. It grows sour. Well, if all you're doing is taking into your spiritual life will grow sour. And I had that, by the way, the other day. After a little time off over the holidays, I went to take a little drink of milk and look down at the expiration date. It was like 12:22. I looked at my watch. It was like 1:02, you know. And oh, that taste, you know, you can taste that sour milk in your mouth. Well, you know, it wasn't that that milk was bad when it started. It's because it just sat there over time. Well, in your spiritual life, if you just sit there over time and you don't give away, you're really not going to grow in the best way. That's why Colossians 4:5 says, live wisely among those who are not yet Christians. In other words, don't let your spiritual life sour. Live wisely among those who are not yet Christians, making the most of every opportunity. Now, we have a lot of opportunities to share our faith here in South Florida because we happen to live in one of the most faithless areas in our country. In fact, the songs that we sung earlier about God and about dedication to Jesus, less than 15% of the people that we encounter on a regular basis would agree with what we sung about, would agree with the gospel. In other words, less than 15% of people here in South Florida are part of a church, have a faith in Jesus like we have. So in other words, 85% need to hear about Jesus Christ. And these are not abstract numbers because these are people who live in your neighborhood. These are people that you work with. These are people in your family. They need a relationship with Jesus. And we all talk about, you know, how much people need God. And we know that somebody's life would be better if they had God in their life, but are we inviting them? So in sharing your faith doesn't have to be this daunting process. It can be as simple as say, hey, come to church with me. And you know, at The Journey, we try to, you know, make it so that every week people feel welcome when they come for the first time. I mean, that's why we have the bubble machine for kids, so they feel welcome. It's why we have the candy and the smiling greeters out front so that they can feel welcome. We want to create a welcoming environment so that any Sunday you invite your friends, they can come and be welcomed. Now, they might be challenged by the scripture. They may not like what I have to say if we're talking about some kind of in-your-face topic. But, I mean, we're not going to water down the scripture, but we can at least create a welcoming environment. It's also why we do certain teaching series that connect with people. You know, we're talking at Step Up here at the beginning of the year because most of us make evaluations and commitments and goals at the beginning of the year. Then around Valentine's Day, we're going to kick off a series about passion. It's going to be a series on Valentine's Day. And it's going to be the truth about passion, purity, and prepare yourself, porn. Have you noticed all the talk about pornography that's been in the news? All the studies that have been coming out? How people younger and younger and younger are getting addicted to this subject? Well, in February, we're going to address that as a church. And where else do you want people to hear it? Do you want them to hear it in the locker room? No, you want to hear it from God's perspective. So passion, purity, and porn is going to be a 4 or 5 part series coming up in February. And then right after that's over, we'll get into Easter and we'll get into fasting and all this kind of stuff that we have planned over the course of the year. So this is why it's invite people. And then, you know, sometimes you can take some tools. You know, pick up some of that stuff at the resource table. Don't just let the resource area in the back be for you. You know, if there's something back there, if there's a message series or there's a resource or there's a tool and you want extra copies of that for your friends, take them. We want you to use that to share your faith. If you want an extra copy of my book, Unshakable, take it. If you've got 2 or 3 friends that you want to give that book to, it's an investment in you. We want to be generous as a church, just like we invite you to be generous. But share. So make a commitment to share. Be consistent. You know, if they won't come to you in February, invite them to come at Easter. If your friends won't come at Easter, invite them to come this summer when we're doing the God on Film series. If they won't come in the summer, invite them to come in the fall. A lot of good stuff planned. Be consistent. And then challenge yourself. You know, on staff this week, just talking with the other pastors, you know, we feel like this is a critical area in our church. Because as we go into our 3rd year anniversary as a church, our 3rd birthday, I like birthday better, but we'll have a 3rd birthday party coming up the 3rd week in February. It's really easy for us to get complacent. You know, it's really easy for us to just settle and say, okay, you know, this is where we are and this is where we've arrived. So we're praying for this particular area that more people than ever will come to faith in Jesus over this coming year. We're challenging ourselves to pray for and invite people to come to church with us. I mean, just me, Jason, and Matt, we ought to be able to see a number of people that we pray for and invite as well. And so this is so critical. So the question, am I praying for, inviting, and sharing my faith with those around me? So 4 areas so far: daily devotions, growth group, generous giving, sharing my faith. And then the last one, you're going to get a 10 on this one because you're here. So I saved it last. The last one is the Sunday services. The Sunday services. You make a commitment to the Sunday services, which you did. You're here today. You're part of the worship. But then you're consistent in this area. And this may be something that we have to renew our commitment to. You know, at the Journey, we don't expect that you're going to be here every week. Some weeks you're going to be away. Some weeks you might be sick. But we challenge you to make the Sunday service a priority. Not let a little rain keep you away. Not let the fact that you're in a couple of minutes late keep you from coming. But to be here consistently in the Sunday service. You know, there's something about the large group setting that God created. Growth groups are important, but the second piece of that puzzle was being around a group. You know, being around a group where you can be encouraged, where you can study God's word together, where you can take those next steps of commitment, where you can maintain that consistency and be reminded of obedience. And then where you can be challenged from time to time in these various areas, like I try to do from stage here every week. You know, one of the things you may not know about the Sunday services is that there hasn't been a Sunday in over 2 years where we haven't had at least one person make a decision to follow Christ here in our church. Now, that's a big, eternal, changing commitment. Most Sundays, it's 2 or 3. Last week, 3 people made those decisions to follow Christ. Some Sundays, it'll be 7 or 8. God does something here in the Sunday services. Now, that's a very narrow thing. But did you know every week there's prayer requests on the back of this card of how God's doing something miraculous in the lives of people? Now, I mean, I can't share these prayer requests. We have to keep them confidential. But sometimes I just wish you could see all that God's doing in our church. You see, every week God speaks directly to people's lives here. And it's the only time he can get your attention. He can't get it anywhere else unless you come and put yourself in a worship service like this. And if you're not here, you're going to miss it. If your kids aren't in Journey Kids, they're going to miss it. You know, I talk to a lot of parents. They say, I want to raise my kids in a godly home. But then, you know, they take them away from church on Sunday. They take them out of church on Sunday. Well, you know, that could be the very place that they're going to grow best. And those of us who grew up in church and had that privilege, you can give testimony of how maybe at the time you didn't get it, but as you got older, you realized the value of that consistency. Our next passage, actually it's our final passage here, it shows exactly how the early church experienced this. It says, Ephesians 5, 19 through 21, then you will sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, making music to the Lord in your hearts. And you will always give thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And further, you will submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. So go ahead and rate yourselves in this area. Make a commitment. Be consistent. Maybe add in a challenge or two. Challenge to step it up, block it out. Ask for time off work. Challenge to come early to serve. I don't know what it might be. Now, today's been about helping you evaluate your spiritual growth. There is one other tool that you may have seen inside your program. I've got to point it out to you. In your program, there is a guide called a 2014 Spiritual Growth Evaluation. It's too much for us to do here on a Sunday, but I hope you'll sit down this afternoon or over lunch today or in the early part of the week, and this is a true-false evaluation for you to go through and ask yourself, am I certain that I'm a follower of Jesus? Is my faith involved in every aspect of my life? Does my faith give me inner peace? And just be really honest about where you are with God. You know, we all raised our hands earlier saying that we want to grow spiritually. In fact, I'm going to ask you to raise your hands again here in a minute as I pray for you. But work through this, and then if you want to send me any questions or comments or send me your report, I would love to hear your feedback on this and see what God says to you about this. But as we wrap up, look up here for just a moment. I've talked about a lot of things when it comes to spiritual growth. But there is one big rule of thumb that I have to give you as we pray. And that is that nobody can make you grow. You have to take responsibility for your spiritual growth. You have to say, I want to grow spiritually. I've experienced some blessings in my spiritual growth. I wish I could give those to you, but I can't unless you take responsibility. You've experienced things in your spiritual growth, and I'm still growing, but I can't experience that unless I take responsibility. I must take responsibility for my spiritual growth. When you do that, you cooperate with God, and you put yourself on this great journey of becoming a fully developing follower of Jesus. Make those commitments, be consistent, challenge yourself as needed. By show of hands, how many of you still want to grow spiritually over this coming year? Let me see those hands. Look around. And now, let's bow our heads and pray for one another. So, Heavenly Father, for every person who just raised their hand, for myself, I pray that we would all grow spiritually. We choose today to cooperate with you, to take responsibility, to allow you to work in us as we make these commitments. We pursue consistency, not in our own willpower, but by your will and your power. We want to be consistent in these various areas. And then, God, from time to time, we give you permission to challenge us to step it up. And God, I pray that all that's happened here today. And I pray for each person who seriously seeks to follow you in this very real, authentic, and personal way. So thank you for the challenge that you've given me in preparing this message and teaching it. And may that same challenge flow over to every person who hears. Then just another moment with your heads bowed, if you're here today, and you've never taken that first step to commit your life to Jesus Christ, don't wait another moment. Just right now, say, Dear Jesus, I commit to following you. Come into my life, forgive me of my sins because you promised to do that and because of your death on the cross. And then God, help me to live for you, both now and for eternity, through the power of your resurrection. Jesus, thank you for saving me. Thank you for being my Lord. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody said, Amen.
Thank you for joining us for this podcast. This is only part of what you can experience live at The Journey. When you join us for a Sunday service, you can expect practical teaching, rockin' music, casual dress, a great kids program, and a church experience that's actually fun. Visit BocaJourney.com for service times and information. If you would like to give to the ministry of The Journey, you can give online anytime at www.bocajourney.com/giving. If you have questions or feedback, please email us at info@bocajourney.com.